morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 55 minutes. For part of that time, I have someone that I consider one of my best guests. And his first name is not Bishop, but it's William. But the last name is Byrne, but his official title is Bishop of the Springfield Diocese. That's his official title. His unofficial title given to him by this radio station and this program is the Bishop of Western Massachusetts. I haven't cleared it with the Pope, but we'll let it go. Bishop, how are you today, buddy?
I'm great, and I am so honored to be talking to the Grand Marshal of the July 4th parade.
Yeah, can you believe it?
It's a big deal, and I can't believe that I get to sit and talk to you, that you still talk to me, that you're not looking down your nose at me.
Bishop, I will always talk to you, respect you, and consider you a friend.
Thank you. Thank you.
You've done great things for this diocese, and you come on this program, and the people love it. I mean, the feedback is really good.
Well, let's face it. The people in the Berkshire are nicer than any other people, so they're going to say nice things either way, I think.
Yes, I think you're right. So, you know, today I had to go earlier today. I was on Bond Street in Springfield at the VA clinic there. And I passed was that a big old Catholic church boarded up? I mean, it's kind of sad.
I don't know where that is. Where is it? At
Huntington. Is it Huntington Street? How you doing with recruits?
So we're moving slowly. I thought we were going to have, we've got two guys, three right now. I thought we were going to have another two. One guy needs to take a year to straighten out some finance stuff and whatever. So we're moving the ball. It's just, you know, getting the first recruits is the hardest part. Once that guy's in, you know, for those who are listening, when I arrived, we hadn't had a vocation in this diocese in Western Massachusetts for 5 years. And so nobody wants to be the first guy to jump in. But the great news is a seminarian named John Williams, who was not last summer, but the summer before last in Lee. He was ordained a transitional deacon, and he'll be a priest next summer.
Oh, great. Oh, that's great. Yeah, and for those folks that don't know, the bishop does spend more time, and this is a compliment, coming to the Berkshires. I mean, you're at a lot of stuff up here.
Uh-huh, because I love it up there.
Yeah, and as the church goes forward, what are some of the biggest challenges?
Well, I mean, I think that the challenge is that we're facing a culture, you know, that's so individualistic, that's so disconnected from each other.
Yeah.
That even connecting with God, that it's a challenge for people to reengage. You know, young adults who have, and young people even with them, whose connection to the world is through Instagram and Facebook and, you know, is on their phone, getting them to engage in a community as a whole is a challenge. But then again, we're in a culture that's, I would say, even hostile to the idea of faith and God. It's not the first time the church has faced this. Heck, 100 years ago in Mexico, priests and nuns were being hung from light poles. So we're not there yet, but we've faced these challenges before. And I think people have to realize that they're made of three things, not just a mind and not just a body, but a soul. And if you don't exercise that soul, you'll never know true joy. You know, if you have a beautiful body and you can recite the Pythagorean theorem, but you never have anybody to, you don't have an experience of love and the key is to remember is that God doesn't just love, God is love. So the experience of true love in and of itself is experience of divine life. And so I think helping people awaken to that, that the joy of the gospel is a challenge. But I think St. Paul faced a challenge when he stepped off into Corinth, or, you know, Jesus started with 12 guys wandering around the world, and now look at us.
Yeah.
You know, over a billion. So
yeah,
I'm not worried that God is in charge and that he's not done.
I agree. And you know, interestingly enough, I'm being interviewed by an Eagle reporter about being the parade person. Grand Marshal, there it is. You know, I forgot where I parked the car, never mind titles. But interestingly enough, it brought back a lot of memories of Vietnam to be interviewed. I try to not live it anymore. But it, right. It's, you know, it's, the older I get, more memories come back. And
really, that's interesting.
Yeah, maybe because when you're running a career and you're raising a family, that consumes a lot of your time. Now I don't have a lot of free time. And I said to my wife, I had less time. I did less when I was working than I do now. But as I shared with a reporter, and I'll share with you, I think I have in the past, there were two nights in Vietnam. I didn't think we'd make the morning.
Right.
I promised the good Lord, you get me out of this. And I promise you that every morning when I wake up, when my feet hit the ground, I will thank you for another day.
Right.
And I've stayed pretty close to that all my life. And I think you're right. I think it will come back. I think, but there's gotta be I don't want to say problem, but something has to bring the people back.
When I was just going back to this topic of when I was in a parish, there was one of my parishioners was in his 90s, and he was a young lieutenant out of Notre Dame and landing on the beach at Normandy. And I was talking to him, and I said, tell me about that. And he's like, ancient history, no, let's talk about today.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think you're part of the generation that was just like, lock it down, get on, raise the kids, yeah, earn a living. And then when that space clears up, you know, those memories come back. And I think that's probably a God saying, hey, look at this.
Yeah.
Pray with it.
Yeah.
Take it to me. And so I think that, you know, the being able to help, I think, helping people create community.
Yeah.
You were raised and I was raised was like, pray, pay, obey. That was what it meant to be a Catholic, you know? And that's not what's going to draw people in. You went to church because that was what you did. And then as you grew older, you went from inheritance to ownership, where it became your own life and your own experience and your own gift.
Yeah.
So that's what I think we have to get people, this other generation, to realize the power of welcoming community and learn to walk with how the church walks with people. That's what Pope Francis is talking all along. Encounter, encounter, listen. And that's what I think he's spot on with that.
I don't want to, I'm writing another book about at-risk kids. Because, you know, I ran the violent youthful offender.
Right.
And I have a whole chapter on listening.
Yeah.
Not hearing, listening.
Right.
And because a lot of the kiddos today, they talk in code.
Right.
And you're hearing one thing, but they're transmitting something else. So I think the Pope is, and you are right on with that. And, you know, let's, you know, one of my favorite topics with you is Catholic education.
Yeah.
Boy, are they doing a great job up here in the Berkshires?
Mm-hmm.
They really are.
Yeah, we've got Dalton, Lee, and St. Stan's.
Right.
All right up there and really doing a great job. And I think maybe sometime you should invite our school superintendent on, Bill. Her name is Maria Wagner, and she's doing a great job of finding curricula and making sure that the value that people are receiving from a Catholic education is excellent. Excellent. Yeah.
I've had her on, and I will have her on again. I'll work through Mark to arrange that. She's very good, and she's and you're right. The other part I liked about what she was saying is a curriculum for today's kids.
Right.
You know, and to me that's so rewarding, and I do want to my our buddy, Father Malatesta.
Yes.
I don't think he's got enough to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Just a lazy.
I told him I'm going to be interviewing the bishop next week. And when I do, I'm going to tell him, "You, as far as I know, you're still sleeping between 1 and 4 a.m. That's a good working time.
I know. There's a lot he could be getting done then. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm glad you're on it.
I got you covered, Bishop.
Thank you.
And what wonderful things happening at St. Camp Holy Cross.
I know. And that's an important part of our capital campaign.
Yes.
$3 million.
I got it.
Deferred maintenance and try to make it a three-season place so that groups can go up there all the time.
I go to Sacred Heart a lot in the weekdays.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, they're really doing well with their campaign.
That's great. I know. That's the beauty of this campaign we've had. It's a real blessing. We've had every region break its goal. Most parishes that have given it a try, you know, we only have a couple standouts, but have all exceeded their expectation. And these pastors, it's light lifting for them. That's why we're doing it the way we do it. They don't have to go chasing people down, but yet the great gifts that they have received are going to help them get that roof or that handicap ramp or fix the bathroom in the church or all the things, so that when the next generation finally wakes up and discovers they need God, we've got a beautiful place for them to come worship.
How is the overall campaign going? And for the viewers that don't understand, could you give us just a 30,000-foot view of how it's, I think the way it's set up is wonderful.
So we have, the last time we did a capital campaign was 25 years ago. And those funds have been used to develop programs and help Catholic schools do all kinds of amazing work. But it's time. We've got another 25. This is sort of, you know, before the greatest generation goes to the Lord, this statistics show that they're the most generous givers. And so we want to make sure that they have an opportunity to give before their kids spend it all on nothing. Yeah. So we're going to help with priest retirement. Our guys are living longer. Praise God.
Yeah.
Make sure we have the resources to give them the best possible retirement, because they all deserve it. And we've got Catholic education. We've got evangelization money for a parish to, if that wants to come up with an idea, then they can say, oh, okay, let's apply for a grant from the diocese. So all the money, 50% of all the money collected goes right back to the parishes. The other half goes to evangelization schools, priests, seminarians, to training of seminarians, and finally Camp Holy Cross. So, because you know what? I don't know if you got the memo, Bill, but they're not making any more waterfront property in the Berkshires.
I got that.
We got 250 acres on the reservoir up there in Goshen.
Yeah.
It's You couldn't possibly dream to buy something like that now.
Not now.
Not now, forget it.
Not now. And you know, we used to have, and I don't know what happened to it. It was called Camp St. Michael. And when I was a kid growing up, it was called Mickle's Grove. And it was out on bordering the state forest in Pittsfield, a nice pond, always nice in the summer because it was spring fed.
Okay.
So it never got too hot.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know, whatever, that went the way of the CYC.
That was sold years ago.
Well, sorry. Tell Mark I'm not a kid.
The state
bought it.
Oh, good. That now we know it'll go to no good use. But anyhow, as you go forward, you came out of D.C. Down there. I just have to say that sometimes I'm disappointed at what I hear and see.
Sometimes.
Yeah, well, I mean, mostly daily. But I don't watch TV during the day because the police have been here in the past, me screaming at the television.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't help.
No, and the Polish princess said to me, you can scream at the city council meeting. They don't hear you, but the neighbors do.
Right. And since she's trying to put you away anyway,
that's right.
Don't give her any more evidence.
No.
But I do have to say something, that Washington may be messed up, but I think our local governments, our local mayors are all doing really great work.
Yeah.
And our police force, you know, they're really dedicated, and our first responders across the board. I just find I'm continually impressed as I go around and I get a chance to meet the mayors. And if there's any mayors that are listening to this and I haven't met you, well, call me up and I'll come and visit and learn all about your life. It'll be your take your bishop to work day. I would love to do that.
Well, I don't know if you've met our new mayor, Peter Marchetti. He's part of the problem with me being selected as the parade chairman.
Grand Marshal.
Yeah. He and a group that he surrounded themselves with called the Parade Committee. You know, I'd rather be standing in front of St. Joseph's buying popcorn and hot dogs than being in the parade, because that's where I stand.
I think it's pretty daggone exciting. So, I think it's wonderful. So when you see the mayor say, hey, the bishop's a gift, why haven't you invited him up for?
I will do that for
tea.
You know, Bishop, in your outreach, I think, is what's helping this diocese grow. You don't sit down in the chancery office and wait for people to come. You're out and about. You do funeral masses. You do. And that's I mean, this is a real compliment to you.
Oh, well, that's the best part of the job. You know, I sometimes feel like my life is a signature. But my favorite part. So that's why I'm out at different parishes 3-4 a weekend. In the schools during the week when we're in school session. So I tell my staff I'm not bishop of an office.
Right.
Bishop of 4 counties in Western Massachusetts. And as their shepherd, it's good for people to see the shepherd.
Do you ever miss D.C.?
You know, Bill, when somebody calls you up and says the Pope is sending you somewhere to be a bishop, you don't give it second thoughts.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's where all my family and friends are, but I can see them. But the opportunity to be a bishop and to be up here leading, guiding, and working with in the fields of the Lord, the great people of Western Mass, well, I don't even bother to look back, because this is where God wants me to be. Yeah. And that's the greatest gift, is I know I am exactly where God wants me to be.
Well, that's a great way to Yeah, that's a great way to look at all of life. I'm gonna, I just really think, so many people. I'm grateful for where I'm at and what I have. And I mean that. I'm grateful for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have been on a wall at 21 years old down in Washington forever.
Right, yeah.
You know, and now, I've passed my mid 70s. Thanks for not noticing. But no, but seriously, the Polish princess and I, we were just talking the other night amongst ourselves. We're very lucky.
Right.
We're very lucky. And I think too often people aren't satisfied with what they have. They always want more. The grass is always greener kind of thing.
Well, that's just it. You know, this is not just a principle of Christianity, of Catholicism. It's the Buddha said that, live in the present.
Yeah.
You know, because the past is history and the future is mystery. So what's going to make you happy is not looking in the rearview mirror, regretting what happened or didn't happen, or spying over the fence to see what the neighbor has. You know, then you miss what's here in your own backyard, which is the people that love you the most.
Yeah.
And so that's just it. You know, you have to live today at fullest and you won't have any regrets.
I try to and I try to do that. I try to get the most out of every day that I can.
Yeah.
Everything that I can get out of it. You know, now I'm getting older, and slower and forgetful. And all the things that come with getting older, you'll find out one day. But I still try, and like doing the show, people said to me, why don't you just retire? Well, I will when the lid goes down. You know, that's the permanent retirement.
Right.
In the NAM, they used to call it taking a dirt nap. But you have, and I
Well, can I
said
just
that.
make a correction there?
Yes, sir.
The fact is when the lid goes down is when the real work begins. When
Yeah.
you're up and, you know, like Saint Therese of Lisieux said, I'll spend my having doing good on earth. You know, the goal is to become a saint in heaven, interceding for the world and for all the people. So this is just preseason camp, you know. The real reality is on the other side.
You know, I often ask people older than me, and that if they go before me, leave the back door open.
Right, exactly.
You know, for me, I think you're going to be able to go in the front. You know, Mark is there in the diocese, and there's you inherited. I'll just say this: you inherited kind of a problem. I admire, and I'll leave it at this. I admire the way and you handle this. And we've kind of chatted about this in the past. You entered prayerfully to know what to do. And you know, that's something I think if you would share with the people, not the actual events, but entering into any kind of issues or problems or illness or whatever, but go into it prayerfully.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah, I really recommend starting your day in quiet. Don't turn on the radio, don't open up the newspaper, just sit down, get a cup of coffee, maybe read the readings of the day. Just sort of go through your calendar, figure out where the Lord is going to be chat where it's going to be challenging to bring him. What do you need to discern and figure out? Because I said this yesterday when I was preaching. Yesterday was my on the 25th, when we're the day before we're taping this, was my 30th anniversary of priesthood.
Oh, we're going to get there.
And when I was in seminary, I told this story. We all lined up. Mother Teresa came to visit. And we were all lined up at the very end, these seminarians, guys studying to be priests, and she was signing our prayer books.
Oh, wow.
And it said, God bless M. Teresa. And she'd smile at us, we'd move on. when I came into line and was standing right in front of her, she stopped all of a sudden, looked up and said, "Don't get in God's way." And then signed my book and I moved on. And I took that as like a prophetic voice. And it's been sort of like the motto is like, it's all God's flow through us. And we just kind of not get in his way by being nasty or snarky or self-centered or self-pitying. But let us be like the water hose of God's love in a world that's dying of thirst.
Boy, I got that right. The I was going to wait, and we'll do this. I may take the break now because I want to talk about your 30 years of priesthood and bishop and what made you make up your mind to try this? Because there may be people out there discerning to become a priest or religious. So let us take a break. I'm doing this for a couple of reasons. For those folks, this is my flag. And a lot of people have died and are buried under this flag. And if you don't believe me, go up to St. Joseph's Cemetery and just drive up to the top and get out and look at the cross. And then look across the cemetery itself. There's a lot of people underneath this flag. And at one point in time, they signed a piece of paper that it could have meant their life to defend this flag. Now, right now, I know it's not avant-garde, but anybody who's been watching me for any length of time or listening to me for any, I'm not an avant-garde kind of guy. You know, I like hot dogs. But please, this 4th of July, study a little bit about what it really means, the 4th of July. And here's the one word you should focus on. Freedom. We'll be right back. I am here with a great guy. His name is Bishop William Byrne. He is the bishop of officially the bishop of the Diocese of Springfield. The Pope put him there. We on this program have designated him Bishop of Western Massachusetts. And I don't accept mail from the Pope because I'm afraid it's excommunication. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. I'm here with the Bishop William Byrne. He is the Bishop of Springfield and officially the Bishop of Springfield and unofficially is the Bishop of Western Mass. So you've been a priest for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
First question, when and why did you decide to be a priest?
Well, it kind of started as a hunch. You know, my father's oldest brother was a priest in the Archdiocese of New York. And he was a great guy. We loved him tons. So it was always in the realm of possibilities.
Okay.
It wasn't like, you know, out of left field. It was something that, you know, so when I was little, I could be like, well, I'll be a doctor or a fireman or a priest, you know, like Father John. And so that's when so that was always part of the mix. And then when I was in college, it was stronger, but I still wasn't sure. So I actually talked to my parents about it. My mom said, you know, I would love to have a son who's a priest. I would hate to have a son who used to be a priest.
Ooh.
And she said, think about it. Go do something you've never done before. So I pictured myself like sailing across the Atlantic or something. I said, like what, Mom? And she said, like get a job. So I went and taught school for 3 years. And that was good because I needed some time to grow up. And then I said, okay, I'm going to give this a try. It's just like if you propose on your first date, then she should run in the other direction.
Right.
You got to, you know, there's a comedian who says, for the first 3 months of dating, your representative dates her representative. Like it takes a while for you to put down your defenses. And so, you know, and priest for the seminary for me was 5 years. And so it was 5 years of really learning to love the Lord, to understand what the church teaches. So it was probably halfway through that time that I said, okay, I am called to this. So yeah. It's just important point is that if a young man is thinking about it, the first calling is not to priesthood, it's to seminary, to find out if you are. So if you're a young woman thinking about religious life, the first call is not, am I called to be a nun or a sister? Right. Am I called to be a novice, a postulant, a novice, to give it a try? You know?
Yeah. So you become ordained.
Yep.
And back, I'm going to guess, back in those days, you were one of two or three, four guys assigned to a house, rectory.
Yeah, there was, in my first assignment, there were three of us, a pastor and two vicars.
Yeah.
And I just buried, it was named, my pastor was Father Oliver McGrady. He was off the boat from Ireland, Monsignor Oliver McGrady. And he taught me so many lessons about priesthood and about golf and about the life balance. He was just a great influence in me. And I just went down and buried him. I didn't bury him, I preached the funeral. The cardinal buried him down in Washington. He was 86 years old, but had a great run and was a great priest.
And today it's different. Sometimes these guys, they get ordained, and next thing you know, they're alone in a rectory and they're right. A pastor. Same. Yeah.
Yeah, because the system was really set up to be an intern for a couple of
right.
years or whatever.
Yeah.
What do they call that where you go... Apprenticeship.
Right.
You learn by an apprenticeship, and now it's like you learn by fire. You learn with a foot in your back and somebody pushes you into a church.
Right. And I used to, for the Department of Justice, I used to teach management and supervision. And one of the things they don't teach there in the seminary, unless they've changed, is management and supervision. And I you have been a great mentor to a lot of these young kids, or priests, sorry. But when
right.
you're my age, everybody's a young kid. So, but yeah, and it, that to me, you're priesthood. So you got groomed in the rectory with three other guys. Then what? How? Just take us through.
Then I went to, then I was assigned to my own position, and that was at the University of Maryland.
Okay.
As chaplain. And we started with about 300 going to Mass. I left, there was about 1,000 kids going to Mass Sunday. And then I went to Capitol Hill for another 8 years, and I was on the Hill.
Oh,
and
it was there.
Much different place then, much different place. You know, we were, the people were friends with each other across the aisle. Something's
yes,
happened.
They were. Yes, they were.
You know, so I would meet people and they would be a Republican. They'd say, well, this is my good friend, so-and-so. I did a dinner for Catholic congressmen every month. And there would be a mix of Republican and
yeah.
Democrats. And that was a really beautiful experience. And then I went to a big suburban parish, but For a big hunk of time, I ran pastoral ministry for the Cardinal in Washington. So I was always in a parish, but I still ran a big section of the diocesan administration. And that was good. It taught me about diocesan administration. But at the same time, my heart never left the parish. But then I got the call suddenly that I'm moving to Western Massachusetts. So I think it's kind of like, you know, if I were to ask you and the missus, if you thought your life would be what it was, you'd say, it's been a totally different ride than we would have guessed on our wedding day. And where we are, and so I think if you're faithful to God's plan, you're going to end up with an adventure.
Yeah.
And because he's full of surprises, and they're always good, even if they're hard.
John Kennedy, and you remember, I was just watching something the other day on YouTube. I saw you a couple times too. You're getting to be right out there.
That's right.
Got your own little program there.
Mm.
Me too. So, yeah, not as good as yours.
No, but I disagree.
John Kennedy said, we're going to go to the moon, not because it's easy, but because it's hard.
Right. I've heard that quote before.
Right. Well, today they want to drop cursive and they want to drop algebra and they want to drop because it's hard.
Right.
Well, you know, I mean, I went to Vietnam because I was in the part of the class that made the top half look good.
Right.
So I'm not a scholar. But I think sometimes what you're saying is so dead on. Our lives unfold many times not like we thought they would. You know? And I think people... I've said this 1,000 times to me. I don't know how people without faith make it when the tough times hit. You know?
Right.
And through your career in the priesthood, you've had tough times.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thinks, well, they don't have any. Yeah. About the curate, that just came to mind. And that's what happens when they have to be my age. There's things in the file drawer, but sometimes the drawer is shut. So every so often it flies open. And I remember there was a wonderful priest, Father Tom Lowen. And he died way too young. But I lived in the shadow of the church. We'd be out playing basketball. And they had a bell on the side of St. Charles that big that when the priest went out for any reason, they'd flick that on, and the whole neighborhood could hear when the phone rang. So Father Lowen's out playing basketball. There's 5 or 6 of us. And the pastor, Father Ahern, an old God, probably my age now, he comes to the front porch window and goes, Father, and yes, Father, Father Lowen is, are you on duty this week? Yes, Father. Well, you better come in here, lad, so you can hear the phone. And he did. I mean, I guess that's the difference in generations. We did things when we were told to do them.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what's been the highest moment of your life as a priest?
Well, that's a hard question. I'm trying to think. I mean, certainly being made a bishop.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a very unique and singular experience to become a successor of the apostles and enjoy the fullness of the priesthood in such a way that I myself can now ordain a man to the priesthood. So that was a highlight. But I think, you know, there's, like you were saying, hard moments. Like over a decade ago, when I did my father's funeral.
Yeah. Like,
what a privilege to be able to offer the sacraments and then give a Christian burial
sure.
to a man who gave you everything.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, he had suffered with some dementia. So I always tell people I'd rather see him in heaven than in diapers.
Right.
You know, when he passed, it was a blessed event. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't, but it's still your dad. And so, but it was a great and a remarkable privilege. Last weekend, I was in Washington to marry my my nephew, Joey, and his wife, Molly.
Oh, cool.
And so, and those moments where you can play a role in ways, but you know, in this, in a way, every baptism is so powerful, and every moment.
Yeah, and don't you think too that what have you, what's been the most dynamic change you've seen in the church?
Well, I'm too young to have seen the shift of Vatican II. So okay. I grew up in a purely Vatican, like I have no memory of a Latin mass. I have no memory of anything like
okay.
that. My older brothers had to do that, learn it all. And then as soon as they learned it all, it changed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think one of the most monumental events happened with the election of St. John Paul II.
Yes.
You know, he was the Pope that brought the church into the modern age. He was the church, the Pope that went on globe-trotting trips and, you know, landed in the Philippines and visited all these places, stood on the top of a tank in the middle of Warsaw, you know,
yeah.
9 million people showed up and effectively ended, you know, destroyed the Iron Curtain. So I think much of what we see in Pope Francis, for whom I have a great deal of admiration, he is an extension of that John Paul era, of the Pope that helps us think about things differently.
Yeah, I
was, and I'm not just saying that because you're married to a Polish lady.
No, I know, and I make sure that she watches this portion. Let me see what the timer is. Okay. I once saw a film by, believe it or not, Newt Gingrich.
Oh yeah, I saw that also.
Yeah, it was a magnificent. Was on our we went to Poland, the Polish princess and I, and the footsteps of John Paul.
Wow.
It was a pilgrimage. Yeah, it was really eye opening, and you know, if you. I'm not a, you know, as I tell people, somebody said, well, you're a good Catholic. I said, no, I'm not a good Catholic. I'm a Catholic. The good Catholics play bingo. I'm not a good Catholic, but no. And I mean that I try but I see so many things happening today that are anti-religion. I do a little thing in the mornings, and sometimes I get some awful feedback with people because I just put a little blurb up about have a good day, God bless, whatever. But I think what I am seeing also is that there's a nucleus of people who are coming together in faith, and not just Catholics. I mean, I'm appalled at what's happening now with the anti-Semitic stuff. That leaves me very angry.
Same here, yeah.
You know, the Polish princess and I, we went through Auschwitz. I suggest they go through Auschwitz.
Right, I agree.
You know what you're talking about.
I've been there.
Yes, no, not you, but I'm saying them, yeah.
When I was in Poland, I was a seminarian, so John Paul was still alive and Pope and
wow.
Healthy as can be. And so three of us went to his home in Wadowice, which at the time was just like, you know, going to the Sturgeon Museum. You know what I mean? It was kind of a little old lady with some baby pictures and stuff like that. He wasn't a saint yet. But still, to protect the floors, they made you wear these like felt booties to cover your thing. Well, the felt booties were kind of slippery. And myself and the other two guys realized that we could, when the lady wasn't looking, have a like a skating race down the hallway. So she caught us, the babushka caught us, quickly took us by the ears and threw us all out of the building. And all three of us are bishops now.
Wow.
And we've all been thrown out of John Paul II's house. I got to go back and tell her I'm sorry.
There was, to me, all I can tell you is the trip to Poland. And I have to, and I'll be letting you go here in a couple minutes, but this lady meets us and we're looking for the post office. And she said, well, I'll take you. We said, no, just point. No, no. She was very nice. And she walked us down. So I said, well, thank you so much. And she wouldn't take a dime. You know, it was, she said, you know, you're an American. I said, yeah. She said, we Polish people, we only have two enemies. I said, oh, who are that? Russia and Germany. So, I mean, and now where are we again?
Yeah.
I mean, as much as things change, my good friend, they remain the same.
Exactly. But that's why I agree with you, that beautiful statement that you made about the flags on the graves. And we have to remember that the blessing of our freedom, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, yeah, freedom of the press, all these things, this is a bold experiment, and we can't mess it up by trying to poke each other in the eye.
I will share this with you. You reminiscing back to when you were on Capitol Hill and I was on Capitol Hill, they were collegial.
Yeah.
And to show you this, Tip O'Neill, Speaker of the House, Democrat, shared an apartment with Congressman Silvio Conti from here,
right,
Republican.
Yeah.
So now they don't even sit at the same table. So
no.
It's hopefully the world will turn and it'll be a better place. Enjoy. Thank you for your 30 years.
Thank
and I
you,
mean
Mr.
that.
Grand Marshal. Thank you, Mr. Grand Marshal.
Oh God, please. I'm you know, I'm a behind the scenes guy. I'd like to make other people look better. I'm just a slug that's been a lucky throughout my life, lucky to be alive still at this age.
Are you going to go in stilts as George, as Uncle Sam?
No. I'm going to be riding, and it's a convertible Thunderbird from the 50s.
Wow.
Oh, you didn't know I was Irish Person of the Year, too.
My gosh.
Yeah, so I'm being surrounded by the Irish sister city, and I banned from Ireland is coming. The Irish step dancers, hey. Irish, Berkshire County Irish American Club.
That's awesome.
That was a little bit better for me because it was confined to a building and one night deal. This has been overwhelming for me.
I'm sure, yeah.
And
it's well-deserved. Well-deserved, well-picked.
Well, as I said, my father was instrumental as a fireman in the parades right after World War II.
Really?
Yeah, the firemen actually ran the parades. And then it just got to be too expensive with insurance and all that stuff. Bishop Byrne, I don't care what they say. Enjoy everything that life has to offer. You certainly bring a lot of joy to people's lives, including this program. And the feedback will be, as always, your kindness. That's what comes out. Your faith and your kindness. And if you need any help, call Mark.
I will indeed. He's right next to me. Sound asleep.
Well, I don't blame him. Hey, it's 3 o'clock. It's my nap time right now, too. Come on. I always say. But
you and I should be representing the Insomniac Association.
Yeah.
Put more people to sleep, probably, than anyone else in the Berkshires or Western Massachusetts.
Well, you know what? If you want to float, let me know. I don't think it's too late.
Okay.
I will be reaching out to the mayor for you.
Okay, good.
All right. Bishop, thanks a million. And just going back, one of the people that I think both of us agree has never let the Potomac fever get a hold of him, and that's Congressman Richard Neal.
Good man. Good man. Proud to know him.
Yep. I've known him since 1976.
There you go.
Yeah, he's a good man, and he always comes home. Folks, I'm going to be here. The bishop's got to go. Got a few announcements. A lot going on in the Berkshires, Bishop. A lot of things. If you get an opportunity, this is a little plug. Abe Lincoln in Illinois. It's a play being performed, Berkshire Theater Group. It's a unicorn in Stockbridge. And it shows Lincoln in a wholly different light than we've all learned about him. It shows his humanity, his fears. I left there, and I've read Doris Kearns Goodwin and Lincoln on Leadership and all that. I left there just totally entertained and much more knowledgeable about Abraham Lincoln.
Wow.
So if you get a chance, let me know, and I'll give you a ticket. And you can bring Mark.
Okay.
Bye, Bishop. Thanks for everything.
Thank we'll you.
Thanks, Mark. Mark, wake Bye-bye. Up. It's almost time to go home.
Take care, Bill.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much. All right, folks. We got a few things going on here. The Clark Institute presents performance by Zamia Badona. I know I butchered that. But anyhow, she's going to be free performances taking place at the Clark Auditorium located in the Research Center. Find you the date here. Well, here's the number. You can call for more information, 413-458-0524. It'll be a wonderful event. The Memory Cafe. This is a wonderful thing. Alzheimer's, dementia, people, the families, and the people. You can go. It happens. There'll be 1 to 3, and it happens at the on Wednesday, the third Wednesday of the month, and most of the time it's held at the Senior Center in Pittsfield. People who have gone to it have told me it is just so helpful for them in getting them through their crises in life. Coming up July the 21st, St. Joseph's Church in downtown Pittsfield, free admission. It's here. It's back. No COVID. The Polish Picnic is back. On July the 21st, noon to 5 p.m., live polka music, Kittyland, and Polish-American foods. And I will tell you, I will be there, probably not polking anymore, but enjoying the music and enjoying the crowd. And that's it. I also want to tell people, I've become very close to the W.E.D. Du Bois Freedom Center, 352 Main Street in Great Bering, St. James Place. If you can get down there, please do. It's a wonderful experience. They're having lectures through the month, I believe, if not more. But you can go down there and just find out more and more and more. I worked with a guy who was a relative of, his name is Michael Du Bois, and he was a relative of W.E.B. Du Bois. And I have pledged that group that this show will help them as much as we can. Also coming up, you're not going to believe it, Young Frankenstein, Mel Brooks's Young Frankenstein. That's going to be performed at the Colonial Theater. Really and truly, it actually starts June the 27th and goes through July. But make sure you get your tickets to see it. I'm sorry. It sounds like it's going to be a hoot. And you know what? We all need a hoot every so often. And we need to laugh. And we need to be, yes, here it is, June the 22nd through July the 7th. So it's not that long a run, but make sure you get down to see it. Also, as you heard me say to the bishop, Lincoln, Abe Lincoln in Illinois is the play. It's at the Unicorn. All I can tell you is if you want to see a side of Lincoln, the human, Lincoln the being, Lincoln the person, this is the one to see with all his fears and questions and doubts. and how he rose above them and became president. Well, God bless. Take care of each other. As I tell you every day, if you take care of each other, somebody will take care of you. And you can make and put a smile on somebody's face. Happy 4th of July. It's coming right around the corner. And I hope to see you at the parade, because a lot of people have worked very hard for this parade. All right. Talk to you next time. And thank you for watching and listening. Bye-bye.